This is the Dudes in Christ podcast. What's going on? Another episode of the Dudes in Christ podcast. A little rusty over here.
Yeah.
Coming at you for another week. And I'm back. Still a little,
yeah.
little sinusy, if you can't tell, for the past 2-3 weeks now. But we're back here and gonna make it work. Gonna get it, get my voice a little exercise maybe. Maybe that'll help kind of push all this junk out. I'm ready to be done with it for sure. Kind of tis the season where the weather's changing every day, and looks like we're going to have a warm day today. You know, it cooled back off earlier in the week, so it's probably always good for your sinuses when you're going through it. But
and then all the pollen and everything else.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, and steel mill dust. It's great.
Well, just hang around because I think today and tomorrow, and I'm not sure, maybe I forget now how long, but just not too many days off in the future. It's supposed to be back down in the 30s.
Yeah, so. if you get to a day where you don't like the weather or you like the weather, it's
right.
It's going to change. So
it's going to change.
Just hold on.
Yeah,
don't take long.
Well, we're going to pick back up in 1 Thessalonians 2. I know we got a few things to do this morning for practice, so we'll jump right in, but just want to say you guys done a great job. I listened to the episode last week and got us kicked off and got us going. So we definitely appreciate that. And I hated that I couldn't be here, but I had absolutely no voice yesterday last week, so I know it wasn't going to happen. So we'll pick up back at 1 Thessalonians 2. Josh, do you want to read this, or do you want me to attempt to read it? Or
I can read it for you. I probably sound the same as you, but
that's just your normal hick.
That's my normal. All right. So chapter 2 says, "You yourselves know, dear brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not a failure. You know how badly we had been treated at Philippi just before we came to you and how much we suffered there. Yet our God gave us the courage to declare his good news to you boldly, in spite of great opposition. So you can see we were not preaching with any deceit or impure motives or trickery, for we speak as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motives of our hearts. Never once did we try to win you with flattery, as you well know, and God is our witness that we were not pretending to be your friends just to get your money. As for human praise, we have never sought it from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we certainly had a right to make some demands of you, but instead we were like children among you, or we were like a mother feeding and caring for her own children. We loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our own lives too. Don't you remember, dear brothers and sisters, how hard we worked among you? Night and day we toiled to earn a living so that we would not be a burden to any of you as we preach God's good news to you. You yourselves are our witnesses, and so is God, that we were devout and honest and faultless toward all of you believers. And you know that we treated each of you as a father treats his own children. We pleaded with you, encouraged you, and urged you to live your lives in a way that God would consider worthy. For he called you to share in his kingdom and glory. Therefore, we never stop thanking God that when you received his message from us, you didn't think of our own words as mere human ideas. You accepted what we said as the very word of God, which, of course, it is. And this word continues to work in you who believe. And then, dear brothers and sisters, you suffered persecution from your own countrymen. In this way, you imitated the believers in God's churches in Judea, who, because of their belief in Christ Jesus, suffered from their own people, the Jews. For some of the Jews killed the prophets, and some even killed the Lord Jesus. Now they have persecuted us too. They fail to please God and work against all humanity, as they try to keep us from preaching the good news of salvation to the Gentiles. By doing this, they continue to pile up their sins, but the anger of God has caught up with them at last. Verse 17 says, "Dear brothers and sisters, after we separated from you for a little while, though our hearts never left you, we tried very hard to come back because of our intense longing to see you again. We wanted very much to come to you, and I, Paul, tried again and again, but Satan prevented us. After all, what gives us hope and joy, and what will be our proud reward and crown as we stand before our Lord and Jesus when he returns? It is you. Yes, you are our pride and joy."
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So this chapter and really this whole book is it's not just a it's not really a laid foundation of like what the gospel is, but it's more encouragement to directly to this group of people. And but you know, in this encouragement, there's a lot of lessons that we as ministers and speakers can really grab hold of. You know, you see here the humbleness that Paul has, the willingness to work when the flock cannot support, you know, the ministry, if you mm-hmm. will. So there's a lot of different things that we see here that are really good examples of really churches across the world in reality. But as we go back up through it, you know, we'll see, they've come from Philippi. They've been beaten to some sort, you know, they've been ran out of the city. Going to assume their wounds and everything are still fresh as they enter to the city. And, but even so, being beaten for their message, they come into this next group of people still encouraged and still, right. they're not weighing, they're not trying to ease the message in and try to be sneaky about it. They're basically saying, "Hey, we're coming to you. And this is what's been going on, but hey, we're still gonna push the gospel of the kingdom forward,
right?
And in doing so, verse 3. So I'm gonna read some of this out of the Passion. "Our coming alongside you to encourage you was not out of some delusion or impure motive or intention to mislead you, but we have been approved by God to those who preach the gospel. So our motivation to preach is not pleasing people, but pleasing God who throughout examined our hearts." So another thing that they're really coming up against, and it's really a common theme as the gospel went out at this time, is not only are you sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're also going up against false doctrines, false teachings.
Oh, absolutely.
And this is something he is attacking here, not really indirectly, but he was saying, our motive is true. It's for God. We're coming here not for your money. So we can assume that those false teachers that were coming around were maybe money hungry. They're wanting to tell them something, get their money. So they're going against opposition, but right. What I'm just encouraged throughout the whole book is through opposition, they're still pushing forward. They're still moving. They're still trying to win their world with the word, if you will. And this is, you know, this speaks briefly about it here. And, as you guys were in the last men's meeting, it's something that we grabbed from this text and a couple chapters on down. Is just, I'm really encouraged by the way, you know, verse 9, "Beloved brothers and sisters, surely you remember how hard we labored among you. We worked night and day so that we would not become a burden to you while we preach the wonderful gospel of God." And I don't know why, but that's just that mindset of Paul had, you know, entering in, because if you think how we think, especially if, you know, and we'll do it in regards to money or resources, you know, however you want to look at that. If we're going to do something and know we're not going to get paid to do it, think of it as our job. You know, if we're going to clock into work tomorrow and we're not going to get paid for what we do. And that, which is common practice for them to back there for right. the congregations to support the ministers. That's how they can continue to go on. Because as a tent builder, it's hard to have a mobile tent business and still, you know,
right.
share, not necessarily share, but really develop a foundation of the gospel to all over Asia, you know, as it says in the text. But so I'm encouraged that he goes forth knowing that, hey, we're going to have to work for this, for this group of people here. We're really going to have to work for it. We're not going to get much in return for it. We've just been beaten. It's possibly that we're going to get beaten and run out of this city as well, but we're still going to go forth and
right.
and persevere. So that's something just really, really kind of jumps out and encouraged me.
Yeah.
Well, I think what really pushed them though was, you know, I think it's the last verse, and I know we'll go back through and cover some more, but what is our hope? This King James Version here, our joy, or crown of rejoicing, is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. I think the NLT said you are our pride and joy. So, you know, this was what Paul was really pressing toward and working toward. He wasn't thinking so much about monetary, if you will, value, but he was thinking of the value of the conversion of these people and their walk with Christ. That was his heart. That's what pushed him.
Right.
You know, it's unfortunate today that we see people are pushed by and motivated by monetary value.
Right.
And not really. I think Scripture even talks about them, how that they're hirelings and not, you know, and not real shepherds. Is their thought is about the monetary value and what's in this for me,
mm-hmm.
and kind of thing. But that wasn't Paul's motive. He wasn't worried about that. And when he got a chance to, he was staying. I can't remember exactly, but he was staying with some people that were tent makers as well. And so he recognized his profession, if you will. And so he would work, you know, there in doing that and try to make his own way so he wouldn't have to be chargeable
right.
to the churches. You know, he said in one passage, it's not that we're not, you know, that we shouldn't be, you know, we should be able to receive monetary value, but we don't want to be chargeable to any of you. You know, we want to do our best to make this free. And of course, there is churches in there that he said, you know, you guys sent to me
yeah.
When others, you know, others didn't. Or
yeah, so
others
I was going to say, this group of people did send to him quite a bit, you know, and I could see his desire. And you, like you in verse 8, where he's telling, it's not so much, you know, we loved you so much that we shared not only God's good news with you, but we shared our own lives with you. So they right. were like friends to them, friends or family.
Absolutely.
So this group of people became like a family to them.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Have a little on that verse, Josh, footnote from the Passion. It said, it reads in the Passion, with a mother's love and affectionate attachment to you, we were very happy to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our lives, because you had become so dear to us. And it says, or you had become our beloved. Just a few months before, the Thessalonians were complete strangers to Paul. Now he states how dear they had become to his heart. True ministry is caring for others with a father's love and a mother's love, not exerting control or abusive authority over whom we serve.
That's
really good. Just seeing the attachment, you know, he's kind of that father figure, if you will, you know, in a spiritual father sense in bringing the gospel to them.
Right.
But also just seeing himself as one of them, you know, a brother or sister to the, so that's pretty cool. And he actually identifies them several times, even in verse 9, beloved brothers and sisters, surely you remember how hard we labored among you. So that's pretty neat.
And then verse 17 says, is it 17? We are separated from you a little while, though our hearts right. never left you. We tried very hard to come back because of our intense longing to see you.
Right.
So he's expressing, this thing I'm reading here, so he expresses his deep longing to see the Thessalonian believers again, comparing it to a separation from family.
That's good. Couple more points I would at least like to hit on. Verse 15, I might as well just go back up to 14. My dear brothers and sisters, the same thing happened to you as happened to God's churches in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you received the same kind of mistreatment from your fellow countrymen as they did from theirs, the Jews, who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets and ran us out of town. They are offending God and hostile to everyone else by hindering us from speaking to the unbelievers so that they might be saved. By doing so, they are constantly filling up to the brim the measure of their guilt and punishment that has come upon them at last. And so, as you guys talked about a little bit, if we go back to chapter 1, the very last verse, I'll actually read 9 and 10 of chapter 1. For everyone tells a story of some kind of welcome you showed us when we first came to you, and everyone knows how wonderful you turned to God from idols to serve the true and living God. Verse 10, and now you eagerly expect his Son from heaven, Jesus, the Deliverer, who he raised from the dead and rescues us from the coming wrath.
Yes.
And so one reason that I wanted to go into the Thessalonians after Revelation is we learned about this wrath that was to come in Revelation.
Right.
And I believe this is the same wrath that is to come here in Thessalonians. It's speaking of the same prophecy starts in AD 66. And of all those things that we've talked about. And if you look at, you know, 1 Thessalonians, it was one of the earlier books of the New Testament written. It's even goes down to really 20, 30 years after Christ's death, you know, so AD 50-ish, you know, early 50s.
Right.
And so you see that wrath to come. So that's why I want to talk about it, is why that was kind of up and really on our minds a lot and going through all that. So we see now, you know, there's several accounts in the Gospels where it talks about the wrath is to come, and we see this continually taught about here, you know, in the coming wrath. And then so I think it's pretty prevalent, you know, what they're talking about. Where they're talking to a certain group of people, and we talk about this a lot. What is the context of what's being said in the Word of God?
Right.
And, you know, in this Bible, unfortunately, we aren't the superstars in this Bible. While there are promises and there are things that we can learn from, this Bible is essentially not directly about us, but it's about who saved us. You know, it's about Lord Jesus Christ. And so, when we go through this, we can't just change the text to the coming wrath to the people who you live in the United States 2,000 years later.
Right.
He's talking to them for a purpose.
Right.
And then so we see that. And then if we go, so we see the wrath to come. I also want to note something down here at verse 19. For what will our confident hope, our exhilarating joy, and our wonderful trophy that we will boast before our Lord Jesus at his appearing, is how the Passion translated. Let me get another drink here, running dry. So if you go to, I think where a lot of us get confused, and I just seen that this, you know, reading through this past week, is if you go First Thessalonians 2, and I'm going to read it, what you read in Josh in the NLT, verse 19. After all, what gives us our hope and joy that we will be our proud reward and crown as we can stand before our Lord Jesus when he returns.
Just them.
So we talked about it in Revelation, but I think a lot of people automatically think this as the final coming, but by the way it reads, as he returns. So they're thinking of an end times, you know, when he returns. And we've gone through Revelation and talked about it was really more his appearing that happened. And so I think the Passion Translation better translate that, is it identifies as his appearing. And that word is, you know, that word for that is parasweia. I'm probably saying it wrong, but G3952. And so that Strong's or that concordance is not found in Revelation, especially in chapter 22, where it talks about his final coming. That's not the same word, but it is the same word that reads in 2 Corinthians 10:10. So I'm going to read that real quick. And it says, verse 9, I'm not trying to frighten you by my letters. This is Paul talking. For some say Paul's letters are demanding and forceful, but in person he is weak, he is speechless, and his speeches are worthless. And the King James says, for his letters say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech. So it's not always about a coming. It could be just his presence. We know that at AD 66 and throughout that whole time of wrath, that God's presence was there and active. You know, he come in the clouds, if you will. There was a visual,
yes,
that we seen, but it wasn't necessarily about him coming in a sense of he's coming to earth. He's right. Coming to take us, you know, it's more, it was more so about his presence that was there.
His presence, his appearing.
Yeah.
I think it's Hebrews says that he will appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So it's more about his appearing than it is his coming. And also, as you mentioned, the last verse in the first chapter, and then if you look at verse 16, where that they were forbidding them to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, and it goes on to fill up their sins always, for the wrath is come up on them to the uttermost. So here again, it speaks of the wrath that is coming up on them. And, of course, we covered this in Revelation, but, you know, it said those that pierced him would behold him, you know. And so the Bible is clear identifying the time stamp on this wrath. And unfortunately, much of the church is still looking for a 7-year period out there somewhere that's already been connected to Daniel's 70 weeks, that just takes that week completely away. So whether they're pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib, it just doesn't really matter because the week's not there.
You know? Right. And it's so, you know, you mentioned 16 of that wrath to come. And we've said it there, and here's another spot that we didn't talk about in Revelation, but why was the wrath there? And it says it in the very the verse right before that, who both killed the Lord Jesus, right, and their own prophets.
Exactly.
Have persecuted us, and they please not God. They are, right, contrary to all men. So the wrath came because they killed Christ.
Right.
They crucified him.
Rejected him. All the he sent prophets ahead of himself, and they rejected them. I mean, Jesus even wrote a parable about that, you know, how that the father had sent, you know, into the to the vineyard to receive, and they would beat them and send them away, you know, and some of them they killed, and finally said, well, I'll send my son, you know, and they said, well, hey, here's the heir, let's kill the son, you know, and that's what they did. And now so the wrath was filled up against them for that.
Yep. Good stuff. Well, short and sweet, but a lot of meat.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it's good to see. And, you know, we mentioned as we went through Revelation, learned a lot about that time period, if you will, and, you know, kind of 80, 60, 70, that region. And, you know, mentioned how it made a lot of things that we had learned in the past more clear. And we're already seeing, for example, it's making our future study even more loud, if you will.
And absolutely.
So it's very cool. Very cool. Nobody ever went through something and studied something and wished and said, oh, I wish I wouldn't study that. You know, there's always something that comes forth from it. So,
yeah.
Good stuff. Well, we are all done up here. Hope you guys are going to have a good week. Maybe enjoy a day or two of this good weather before it changes up.
Yeah.
And we will see you guys next week.